Welcome back to the Strong Family Project podcast. I'm Joe, joined by Mel.
Welcome back to the Strong Family Project podcast, where we guide you on the path to raising confident, independent, and resilient children in a strong family environment.
The foundation of the path is called the Strong Family Path. It's a PDF that is downloadable for free at strongfamilyproject.com. Right now, we're not taking sponsors on any of these episodes. We're just doing this as a share so that you can live a stronger life as you see fit within your core values and with your family. What's going to be important to that is you engaging in this process. So you can visit strongfamilyproject.com, download the steps of the path so you have it, and you can play along. These episodes all support that foundational piece, and it is completely free for you at strongfamilyproject.com. Let's get into today's episode on how we're going to do summer differently this year. When we're recording this, we are approaching summer here in the Midwest. Get out of school way earlier than they did in the Northeast where we used to live, where I was a high school teacher. We'd go to about June 20th or so, and now the kids are out May something.
May 23rd, I think, is the
last
day.
About a month difference here. So they're out earlier. You get a jump start on summer. If you live in the Northeast, my apologies. I think you guys get a couple weeks at the end or something like that. But here we are about ready to start summer. So we're going to do another series of episodes for you before we take our summer break from the Strong Family Project. And today we'll be talking about how we're going to do it differently. There is another episode that discusses it in season one, how we set up summer originally. So for today, Mel, let's get started with a little bit of our banter questions.
Okay.
What's something you've done to improve your life in the last 2 weeks?
Made better kombucha. I'm actually extremely excited about this. But there is a lesson beyond just the kombucha. Because a lot of the things that we start, like the sourdough or the kombucha or whatever, always usually starts with you basically telling me, let's do this thing. And then you tell me how to do it. And then once I get it, I just take it from there. A lot of it is not self-started by me. So one of our core values is personal development. And this past week, I kept thinking about, like, how can I flavor my kombucha differently? I always use fruit juices, which is fine, but it's almost the easy way out. So I decided to look up a video, and this lady explained how to use pureed fruits. And back in my bubble tea days, I would always get passion fruit bubble tea, and I was like, I really want to try passion fruit. So thankfully, the local Walmart had some frozen passion fruit, and I used it, and it made the most incredibly delicious. The flavor's amazing when you like go to burp the bottle and it makes that little like noise when you like open a can of soda, like the bubble noise. That was awesome. But really the lesson for me personally here is that like I took the initiative to go watch this video, which took a little effort, and now it's dramatically improved my enjoyment of my kombucha.
Now there's probably about 0.01% of people listening make their own kombucha. Maybe a couple more percents drink it, but there are two lessons in this. One comes from Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. And I was talking about this with a friend over the weekend, reflecting on it myself. And the basic premise is accepting good is the enemy of being great. So people think that good is close to great. So it's close enough. However, it's a barrier to become great because you just become comfortable at it. The second one comes from a book, I think it's in EOS or Traction, where it's one of their meeting rules for their business is live with it, end it, or change it. So not everything should you be striving to move from good to great in your life, because it's going to be overwhelming. But on these individual decisions, like the food we eat, should we leave it the way it is? Should we change it and try to improve it, hopefully? Or should we end what we're eating and try something new? Make your decision, then move on to the next one. Versus thinking like, I want to do better someday. Just make a decision, because carrying that someday with you is a burden on your mind. We were making, in this instance, good kombucha, or we make good sourdough naans that I put eggs on. And Mel elevated to great by finding other recipes, these pretzel rolls the kids love, or this new kombucha flavor. So while it's not just kombucha specific, it's deciding what you want to be great in your life. And we do put an emphasis on the quality of food we put into our bodies so that we have more energy to embrace more in our lives.
And what's true, too, is I think I spent the last couple months thinking about it. I'll get around to that. I'll get around to it. So this whole time I could have been enjoying great kombucha and all it took was like throwing some strawberries in a blender and pureeing them. Like it was, but in my mind I have built it up to be harder. when indeed it was like one additional quick step. So I think in general, I think sometimes we do that. We think something's going to be worse than it is. And then when you actually do it, now it's just what I do. Now I just blend the strawberries. Like it's become my new normal.
I agree. And it's been this interesting progress where we took something where it's like, all right, well, we're having, I don't remember what it was, like IPAs or something. Like we just stopped drinking, but Mel wanted bubbles because she's a, I don't know if that's a texture eater or bubbles
I
texture.
I like seltzer texture, yes.
And so we would buy all these seltzer waters and then, yeah, there's really not much in them. Maybe there's some health benefits to kombucha. We buy that and we're like, goodness, for a gallon of this, it's like $10 and you're going through a gallon a day.
Oh, well, more than that, yeah.
Go through more than a gallon a day?
No, it's more than
$10. I agree. She's always hammering it. Whenever I get home, I'm like, oh, I'll get some, and it's just like a splash.
He's all, thanks for this tablespoon.
Yeah, I get a little tablespoon of kombucha at the end of the day. And we decide to bring it home and make it. The kids see the process. It is very cool. What's your question for today, Mel?
My question is, what's your favorite kid experience lately?
There's been a lot. I think it has to be appreciating Everett's play. He goes out front, plays with the little toy dump trucks. He goes out in the yard, throws a ball up, tries to hit it. Like, he's just genuinely happy and enjoying life. And it's so almost emotional to see that so many kids now don't enjoy that phase for long enough because they get inundated with stress and response technology in their face. And he's just, he did these perler beads where he puts these little beads on the turtle and they get melted. You said it took him like an hour. He started a different one, took him like half an hour to working on this horse. Wasn't going to happen. He's just sitting there at the table by himself, just kicking his legs, working on this project. And I don't know if I or the other boys would have that kind of patience to sit there for an hour and just do it. And so that's that innocence and play period of life that I want to extend. And I really appreciate that. What about you?
I wanted to say something about what you said, though. Then you know what? I'll play it this way. This past Monday, we had crazy wind here, and they ended up closing school, which kind of threw me off, but they closed school, power outages, some trees were down, whatever. The kids ended up doing so well, because now we've talked about how I'm doing a part-time job now, and I couldn't just put that aside to go be with them all day. They went outside, they played together, I could hear them playing basketball downstairs, and they just were, like, childlike and playful that day, and it was wonderful. And to some degree, I feel like it's part of how we've been raising them, so they understand they need to go outside and figure out what to do with their boredom, because they only get X amount of time on their tablets or whatever. And I almost think being around Everett makes them more playful. So as soon as they go outside and see him doing something, and then there's three of them, so like you can go out and think of something. Like they made bases out of logs to play in the driveway, and we do live on a mountain, so there's a chance the ball is going to roll down the mountain like every time. But that didn't stop them. They went out and they played and they had a great time. And there was like this childlike quality to what they were doing. It wasn't like, let's just play until I can use my tablet. There was none of that. For me, that was like almost a crystallizing moment. And I told them I want that every day this summer.
That leads us well into today's discussion. So I'm not going to ask anymore since you wouldn't answer my question about getting your feedback. You took it from a different angle and gave the same answer as me. I see what you did there. What? Very clever. But it leads us into the summer discussion, because we, as adults too, we want to be childlike. We want to get our play in, and we should have some vacation time. We should appreciate our kids, and we should do the best we can with the time we have to make the most of it. Now, when I say make the most of the time, I don't mean stuff it full of activities and stuff, because sometimes we need recovery time ourselves too. So it's being honest with the time that we have and making the most out of it. So Mel, what are you doing differently this year make sure we make the most out of our time?
We started this a little bit already. So instead of just deciding everything in one day, we're doing things slowly. So let's say 2 weeks ago in the kids' morning journal, I still every morning write a new journal question. I asked them, what are three things you want to do this summer? Because I want them to start thinking about what they want to accomplish, who they want to spend time with. So I already planted the seed. And then we had a family meeting this past weekend, and we started to discuss some summer plans. Not necessarily like we're going to go vacation here, but more of those day-to-day practical things. So summer camps, for example, Logan's not going to be playing football over the summer, but he's going to train with you to get stronger. So we're really trying to dive into where they're at, because honestly, now that I think about last year versus this year, a lot's changed. We've talked about how Logan goes up to the next town and goes to this office and works on 3D printers, and his value there is expanding, so he wants to spend a lot more time there. That's not something that was going on last summer. Henry has gotten into basketball. Again, last year it was just soccer, so now he's got the balance of basketball and soccer, and he's got a growing social life. So establishing where the kids are at and what they want out of the summer, but asking them over time so they can start thinking about it as well.
Yeah, give them a heads up so they can seriously reflect on it. I know there's going to be more challenges this summer because, let's say, for example, Henry wants to go ride his mountain bike. Guess who's going to want to come? Everett, his little bike, and he's six, and Henry wants to go off the big stuff and down the big mountains, and Everett won't be able to, but I also need to juggle not telling him, not talking down to him that he can't, because he overcomes a lot doing big hikes, doing mountains, doing Manitou Incline challenges. However, it's not safe for him to be on a child's bike on these big drops. So now he's going to have to start biking with Everett.
I don't have a bike.
You can borrow mine. Borrow my other one. We got multiple bikes, so when people visit us, they can all go mountain biking.
I know.
It's going to be an interesting challenge because what they're interested in is starting to take on different paths. We just need to be aware of that up front. Try to lean into each one of them and what they want to do, so it's not overly, this one's our special one that he's got soccer camps, soccer clinics, he's such a good athlete, let's do everything for him. And it's just not like that. It's respectful of what the other ones want to do as well.
And that's become more clear lately because people will ask, oh, Everett, what sport are you playing? And then I feel like a terrible mother because we've so focused on like Logan playing football and Henry playing basketball/soccer that we haven't really worked Everett doing a specific, he'll play along with the other kids. With the older ones. So that's something that I actually, thankfully, the school is putting on a soccer camp that's first through eighth grade. So both Henry and Everett can participate in that, which is awesome. And Everett's so excited. But I did, sometimes we have to look to feedback that we've gotten, whether it was asked for or not, and realize, hey, my little kid here isn't getting as much. And I've heard this from other parents who have older siblings. They feel bad for the youngest because they just have to get trucked around and do whatever the other ones are doing, or a lesser version, like you said, with the biking. So we're trying to lean into what Everett wants to do as well. He wants to go to a pool this summer or some kind of swimming. So I already have my summer chart going of things I've heard them say, because I want them to know that I'm not just asking them like just to sound nice. I'm asking them because I legitimately want to help them achieve whatever they want to achieve this summer.
Anything else on the kid topic? Because I'm going to ask you another question.
I had one, but... Oh, I know. I don't know if this is... it all involves kids, I suppose, so I guess I'll go with this. I believe at the episode last summer, I had made this idea where this summer I'm going to teach them a new skill, like folding laundry, and I think I really dropped the ball. Differently this summer, I'm really going to make that happen. I think I had taught them how to do laundry, but I didn't teach them the next step. And I want to make sure that I continue those success skills, because those are things they're going to have to know. And maybe there's even something else. Oh, they've been begging me to help them open bank accounts for 2 years, if not longer. So that's another thing that I want to make sure I do. And again, I'm hearing what they need. And then I'm trying to be practical. Is this something that's important? Is it something I can do? And then move forward with it. So those are some things that I'm going to put on my list of things I want to accomplish with them. Because if you don't set it as a goal, like last summer I did, but like I dropped the ball. So I'm going to go back and start again and accomplish it this time.
What goals do you have for yourself this summer?
Oh boy, I'm so busy thinking about them. I don't think about my goals.
I told you I was going to hit you with a harder question.
I want to explore more of where we live. I would like to take a trip.
Rocky Mountain National Park.
I mean, that's one of them. I would like to visit family. I would like to start to see more of Colorado. We have a ton right here, which is great, but we just historically have not been good about going places with the kids and making that a priority. So I want us to do some day trips. I almost feel like you fall into this, like we went to Buena Vista several times and I love it there. And it's almost because it's like close enough. It's let's just do that. But I'd like to try different things. So Rocky Mountain National Park is definitely on the list. And when we were up there, you and I went when we initially had come out here to look for houses. And we drove on this one road. I don't know what it's like, the Ridge Road. And about halfway in, there's like a place you can stop. And we looked over this like rocky stone wall, and it was just like like this green areas between the mountains, and there was like elk roaming, and it was as if I had looked into a different universe, like untouched by man. And that's when I was sold on moving here. So I've always wanted to share that with the kids up there.
That one's doable for sure. Okay. We get up there, we'll make it happen, see how it goes.
Okay, what about you?
Oh, I've got a to-do list. Got to get a shed taken care of.
Oh, that's right.
That's a big project. Snow smush the shed. Can't forget the work that we have to do around the house. Got to get scheduled in. Got to do road repair because we live on dirt road. It's been used and abused, full of ruts and potholes. So I'll do some road repair. I'd like to take a midday nap, like twice. That would be ideal.
Twice a week?
No, twice during the summer. Twice during the summer, yeah. Twice a week's excessive. I have some ultra marathons to do, so I have to continue my schedule of getting up early so I can get my training in, so it's not affecting the day. Now the kids are here, they get up. I'd like to get up and get my mountain runs in and then come home and train with them, lift with them when they're up and get their morning routines done, which is a step of the strong family path, so I'm not upsetting that apple cart. And trying to piece it all together, just want to go run in the mountains and be quiet and left alone.
I like how you're talking routines, because honestly, right now, during the school year, I get up at 5:20. It allows myself a little bit of time to sit down after I get their lunches ready before I have to wake them up. And it's very easy in the summertime, even on the weekends, just like sleep in as long as possible because I'm tired from the week. But I want to make sure, even if I choose 6:30 instead, I'd like to be consistent with that as well over the summer. And I forgot about another thing with the kids. I'm going to go back to that because this is a super unique opportunity that I think might be available in more towns than we realize. So when we moved here in the next town up, Woodland Park, they have a farmer's market. And we went a couple times and helped out with the church. And I noticed that there was a section for young entrepreneurs. So kids who would sell chocolate-covered bananas or some kind of crochet project that this girl was making, these little stuffed animals. And what they do is they open up a certain amount of tables to kids. And this year, my kids wanted to sign up. Logan, Henry, and I think one of their friends is going to join them, and they're going to be selling a variety of things. These ornaments they used to make, Logan's going to 3D print stuff, and then two of them also draw these detailed pictures of trucks. We're going to laminate them and sell those. So I love that opportunity. They want to make money, because they're always finding something else they're getting into. So they want to make money, but also it teaches them customer service. Like they're going to have to speak with customers and find ways to make their table exciting, make a sign, whatever the case may be. And I think that's going to be a really big growth experience for them. They might go into it thinking it's money making, but as parents, you're going to see them gain other character traits because of it.
Yep, that's a good point. We started teaching business lessons. We're like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? In reality, it's worth a test. Put them out there, do a minimum effective dose, come up with a couple of products or services, see which one the market responds to best. Like, they're learning a lot through this process.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, to observe.
I bet some of them are going to fall on their face. We're going to have to make sure that they get picked up and they don't think, oh, this is all stupid. Like, we have to be there on the other end. We have to anticipate failure with some of these things.
That's a good point, because when I look at their offerings, I personally wonder, will people be buying hand drawings of trucks? I don't know. I don't know if that's something that people are excited about. But I love them, and they're actually quite good. So I suggested, let's laminate them, because it makes it a little more special. But I don't know if it's going to be good. And I think sometimes in their head, they build it up. And like, how much can I charge for this? Like $20? And I'm like, sometimes it opens up good conversations for what's practical here. What is worth, this took you an hour to draw. What kind of money is worth your time? Those conversations wouldn't necessarily naturally happen otherwise. And you also have to be a bit honest. Because when the kids first sold those ornaments right during COVID time, they were like $10 each. But people thought it was so impressive that they would give them tips. So they ended up with so much more money than was practically expected that I think now they always expect they're going to get all this extra. So like you said, it's a good test to give them a reality check and see what works.
Yeah, so we have our family activity. We have our family personal growth with some entrepreneurship activities. Mel's got some personal development that she will work on. And I know she wants to do even her personal stuff's kind of family stuff. But that does give us value too. I have some legitimately personal things that I want to do I don't feel it's selfish to recharge your batteries, and mine is going to be emptying my battery essentially. But I'm going to involve the kids in the hard things that I'll be doing. A couple of challenges. We have the rite of passage episode where they climb Pikes Peak with me. Now that I'm getting slightly more competent at these bigger challenges and these ultra races, I'm going to have them at aid stations and participating in it. I'd love to have them eventually pace me. And my goal is to remain healthy enough that I can do a 100-mile race with each one of my kids as they get older. Everett's six, so we got maybe 20 years of 100-mile races. And it's not for just running 100 miles flat. That's not my thing. Going out to the mountains in ways that I could not explore before to go do these bigger challenges and appreciate and have gratitude towards the beautiful places that exist versus running 100 miles around track. That would make me sad. I could do it, just so you know.
I know.
But I wouldn't want to.
I think the other benefit is they're really getting to know who you are when you do these things. I don't do these challenges with you. And they know me. I have a different personality than you do and different goals than you do. And sometimes I think they wonder, like they separate themselves from your challenges. So I love that you are going to be including them in the challenge and hopefully inspiring them. The end goal isn't necessarily, hey, you're going to grow up to do challenges like this. However, if they're not exposed to it, they probably definitely won't do challenges like that or take good care of themselves or appreciate where we live. Sometimes when it comes with kids, they're not going to see the benefit that you're intending until they're older.
The best we can do is plant seeds to see what happens. I did not know running a few miles was possible growing up. There's no one that I knew that would do that. I was introduced to one guy who did hard things. It was a friend's dad. And it was just like a summer buddy who would give me rides to work, and he would go over to this hill called Round Top Playground and run up and down the hill. Like, damn, that looks hard. This road is like half a mile long. It's really steep. And it was only like half a mile, but I was like, wow, people run these things? It was crazy. And I remember thinking that, and I was like 20. I had no exposure to it, played college sports, but we were just doing sprints, nothing further than a field length. And just planting the seed that they think a lot of things are possible. A few weeks ago, I did the rim to rim on the Grand Canyon, and you were saying that they were considering sizing themselves up on whether they think they could do the challenge or not.
They said that they could. They all were like, yeah, we could do it. And of course, they don't know all the ins and outs, but I love that their initial reaction wasn't like, wait, how long is it? How hot is it? Like, they didn't initially go to all of those ideas. They initially just went to, yeah, I could do that. You just keep walking.
Teach them. Just keep walking. Drink some water. Keep walking.
And sometimes you don't know that they're picking up on what you're doing. You can trust that they are, whether it's things you want them to pick up on or things that you don't want them to pick up on. They are picking up on it. And sometimes that will show itself. So in their response to, could you do this challenge? And they said, yes. That's them picking up on the signals and the seeds that you're planting.
And also to put a pin in mind for the summer, I would like to make a challenge singularly about one child and not about me. So not like in my shadow, I worry about that, or about a group effort. But one hard thing that our oldest can do, one hard thing that our middle can do, one hard thing that our youngest can do. And so that they have that sense of accomplishment. And we did that last summer and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. The younger one did Manitou Incline. The older ones did back-to-back. They did Pike Peaks days with me. They just were back-to-back. And then we did them individually so we could talk father, son, each individual climb. But coming up with something for them individually to accomplish, to say, yeah, I did this unique thing that was really hard and I now know that I'm perfectly fit and strong enough to be able to work through, and it's more mental than anything else, work through these types of challenges.
It's good to be consistent with those things, because I feel like last summer when that challenge initially happened, the rites of passage, it was so exciting. We did end up having pictures made and we gave them for Christmas, because you want to crystallize that moment. You don't want them to forget it. But as anybody knows, when you go through something powerful, eventually the feelings kind of wane and you almost have to remind yourself of how powerful that was. If you plan to have those experiences every summer or however often you can, it will keep that fire burning of that excitement.
Eventually, it almost becomes comical that you can think of any challenge and be like, yeah, I could do that. We did Pikes Peak. I'm like, I don't know if I can find out one that's really harder for them. But we'll work on it. We'll come up with something for the summer. Mel, final words. Give people some advice for their summers.
I want you to get excited about summer and be excited about getting a lot done and make sure that you are asking everybody in your family what they want to do.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Strong Family Project podcast. Couple more coming your way before the summer break, so make sure you're following And if you have any questions you'd like us to answer, we're going to do one more Q&A episode before the end of the season. So please visit strongfamilyproject.com and reach out to the email on the page.